Talk Shoes.
Recorded live.
Welcome, everybody, to another edition of Myth or Logic Radio. My name is Tom Morasso from BornToManifest.com, and I am so pleased to have with me today David Wilcock. And David's been on our show several times. I've lost count. But David is a professional lecturer, filmmaker, and researcher of ancient civilizations, consciousness, science, and new paradigms of matter and energy. His upcoming Hollywood film, Convergence, unveils the proof that all life on Earth is united in the field of consciousness, which affects our minds in fascinating ways. And David, welcome to the show. I understand your book is going to be coming out soon, so whatever you want to talk about, just jump right in.
Okay, well, yeah, I am... That's nice and easy, you know. It's not like we have a lot of demands here, but that's good because, as you know, I can generate my own content quite nicely. But, no, there's very fascinating stuff going on right now, and I've been writing a three-part article series called China's October Surprise, and doing a live format like this and having you be able to respond to me may be a good way to sort of summarize what I've been saying in this three-part article series, because honestly, right now, this is the biggest story on the planet. There's really nothing else that's ever happened like this in the entire history of UFOs and what we've been looking at, and it's because the rules have changed, and I wrote about this. So a bit of an overview before we get into that. I am in contact with, I estimate somewhere in the neighborhood of 15 different guys who have classification. Actually, one of them is female. Most of them are not, but one of them is female. But different people who have classification that can be on a need-to-know basis significantly higher than the President of the United States or most other world leaders, for that matter. And that's actually not uncommon. The thing that people don't realize is they say that why won't the government tell us that UFOs exist? Well, the government doesn't know. A lot of times the elected leaders, like in the case of the Clinton administration, pushed really hard to try to get information and even had the director of the CIA push to get information, and they couldn't get in. The last time that we really had the president fully briefed on what was going on was Eisenhower. And you remember that he made that speech where he was warning about the military-industrial complex.
Right.
He told Kennedy, look, you know, they're closing this whole thing down. They're privatizing. It's going to become corporate. It's not going to be under the control of the government anymore. Watch out. And then when Kennedy tried to, you know, strike at the heart of the beast, he was struck down. And more and more of the research is coming out. We realize that, for example, Kennedy was trying to pass Executive Order 11-110, and that order would have effectively disbarred the Federal Reserve and put us onto U.S. Treasury notes, where we don't have a group of private bankers in Europe who are basically, as we now know, handing out $13 trillion of equity against the American people to predominantly foreign entities. Corporations that aren't even here, like Deutsche Bank. And the fact that the Federal Reserve has been forced to make those disclosures at all is one of the really, really incredible shifts that's happening right now, because we are seeing all of the things that people have been talking about, whether they're insiders or whether they're psychics, but all the prophecies are finally coming true after all this time. We're seeing incredible, bold, blatant moves towards disclosure going on. And I count this television show, The Event, as probably the most significant television show that's ever aired. If you consider that the UFO cover-up is the most significant issue in human history, and then you watch a show like The Event where you have President Elias Martinez, obviously Obama, and then...
Yeah.
I think it was actually on your show, Tom. It was. In fact, I remember now. It was on your show. and a couple others, but I definitely remember doing it with you, where I talked to you last year about the fact that there was a plan for Obama to make a formal announcement to the American people that ETs are real, and to actually introduce us to some of them. In fact, five different groups, and that we were going to be blown away by how human they looked, that they don't look like scary creatures or insects or anything like that. And this announcement was scheduled for, as we now know, it's no longer secret, it was scheduled for November 27th. I believe that's the date. I tried to block the date out because everybody was saying, when is it going to be? When is it going to be? And I'm thinking to myself, okay, if I actually leak this date, then there's no way it's going to happen, because whoever is going to try to stop Obama from doing this is going to be successful because they're going to know what to plan around.
Right.
But nonetheless, this one of the things that these insiders have told me, first of all, let's go back a minute and talk about the national security state and what's happened here. Most of everything that's involving UFOs is privatized. It's not part of the elected government, so it's not a government cover-up anymore. And the government, if you want to call it that, you know, the elected government, they're terrified of coming out with this information because these privatized companies have what Dr. Stephen Greer refers to as murder incorporated, meaning that if you get too close to this, they're going to come after you and they're going to try to kill you, or at least threaten you severely. And I was told by, and I've said this before, so I'm not saying anything that's going to get me in trouble because I already put it out there, I didn't get in trouble. But when Obama was actually first elected, and then he was given this briefing on what it means to be president, he was very strongly and shockingly threatened that, okay, here's how it really works. You do what we tell you to do or else you're not going to be here and we're going to put in somebody who will do the job for us. And that kind of threat is palpable, and apparently Obama had no idea that that's what was going on. He really was naive in some ways and didn't understand what the job of president really involves, and the fact that there are these people who basically look way beyond the scope of a four-year presidential term, and their goal is to try to maintain consistency. And so it's like a ping-pong game where you got Democrat, Republican. People get pissed off at the Democrats, they vote Republican. People get pissed off at the Republicans, they vote Democrat. And you got this ridiculous two-party system.
Well,
where,
it's always the same, two sides of the same coin, right?
Yeah, and they both have ideological differences that when you combine them, the combination is a lot closer to what these insiders want the world to think.
Mm-hmm.
They have some of the ideology of Republicans that, you know, the tendency towards wanting to solve conflict with war, I would say, is much more of a Republican thing. The desire for self-sufficiency, the loathing of the welfare state, that's all very Republican stuff. Republican sentiment tends to be more of a country sentiment. It's more, you're out there in the woods, you got to take care of yourself, you got to be self-sufficient. You don't like the idea of somebody living off of the government. You're much more apt to have a gun because there might be animals you have to defend yourself against, so gun rights are very important. But then there's also the other component that comes with people out in the country that these guys don't like, which is they don't like Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
They don't like the idea of people buying into fundamentalism and the whole notion of it's my way or the highway, when in fact their own religion is basically the same thing. They also feel like their faith is essentially the best one out there. So what you're seeing is with the Democrat side, they basically want to try to mold society into people who are like Republicans, meaning violent, tendency towards violence, the self-sufficiency, the wanting everybody to, you know, to be a warrior, to be like a soldier. But they want the Democrat angle, which is more liberal in terms of, hey, you know, I'm not going to be confined to a particular religious belief. I'm not going to be confined to a particular philosophical belief. Let gays be gay, you know, whatever. And that's all. So it's part of this Hegelian dialectic that they're doing, where they're trying to create synthesis from two opposites. And that's what this whole two-party system has been trying to lead us towards. But in fact, you know, even though they've done things like they've showed you George W. Bush or George Sr. with Clinton, and, you know, they do these kind of grandiose things to try to get you to synthesize the two things, what's happened is that actually people really do buy into the two-party system. And liberals stay liberal and conservatives stay conservative, and it hasn't worked like they thought it would. But anyway, this is much more of a mundane discussion. The deeper level of what we're talking about here is social engineering, and it's the fact that these guys, it depends on which level of the UFO cover-up you look at in terms of how long they've known. And it's only more recently that I've discovered that there are groups here on the planet that have known about this, the fact that ETs exist, all along. I mean, we're talking over 10, 11,000 years, because, in fact, there are humans who look like us, but who were very significantly more advanced in terms of their level of evolution, including the ability to do all sorts of psychic feats that we would think impossible. And these people have visited the Earth many, many times. They did assist in building the pyramids. Again, they're not scary creatures. They're people like us. You hear about them in many, many different ancient mythological traditions. In fact, when I did all this work for the History Channel to prepare for these Ancient Aliens episodes that I'm featured in, and there are others that I probably will be featured in that haven't aired yet, but I can't be specific, I had to do all kinds of interesting new research and found out a wealth of information. And it's just like every single time you go and look into one of these ancient mythologies, you find that these are human-like people that can levitate and can they have glow around them. And you look in the Bible, and it turns out that there are some mistakes in the Bible that need to be fixed in terms of translation. And I talked about this once before, but one of them is the use of the word God is actually often been misconstrued, because in the Old Testament in particular, they use the word Elohim, which actually means mighty ones. And so if you go to any... Go ahead.
I was going to say, yeah, there's gods, and there's God, and there's Lord, and Elohim. And, I mean, there's all sorts of names, and you really have to wonder, are they talking about one particular God or a group of humans that could do amazing things that were like gods?
Absolutely. The other thing that I find really astonishing is, and this was research that came up when I was working for the Ancient Aliens show, if you go to any other text from the timeline of when the New Testament and the Old Testament were written, any other text, and you translate the word that we now call heaven in the Bible, any other text from that time period, scholars will unilaterally translate it as either being outer space or the universe.
Mm-hmm.
And so this whole idea of God in heaven becomes mighty ones from outer space.
Mm-hmm.
And it changes the meaning of so many different things. And unfortunately, one of the things that's happened is that any time that these words show up where God would be plural, they just make it singular.
Mm-hmm.
So there's all kinds of stuff like that. And I went through, you know, Norse mythology and found some really stunning stuff. All of these traditions about, like, Thor's hammer, for example, which that episode already aired on Ancient Aliens, where they're talking about a clear example of, they call it a hammer, but this is definitely some sort of energetic weapon that this guy has got.
Mm-hmm.
And there's many examples of this. You go through Irish mythology And there's this legend of this guy, Cucullin, which sounds curiously similar to the Mayan Kukulkan, and that was something I noticed right away.
Mm-hmm.
And Cucullin was able to, you know, he had his arm severed, and then they gave him a mechanical arm. And it's describing that it was metallic, and it's like, I'm thinking, okay, this is thousands and thousands of years old. And they're talking about it just as plain as day, and that then another guy came in and helped Cucullin actually put flesh on the metallic arm. And, you know, there's all kinds of strange references in there to technology that seems like it's science fiction, but yet it may not be in 20 years if we have all these breakthroughs.
So that's another reason why this disclosure could be, you know, kept such a big secret, because it would blow religions right out of the water.
Well, yeah. I mean, what we're dealing with ultimately is that humans have come to the planet. They have been treated as gods. They've mated with human Earth women. And then the human Earth women gave birth to what were called demigods, which are hybrid humans. They're part extraterrestrial human and part Earth human. And if you look at the legends of demigods, Heracles or Hercules is one example. These demigods are much more powerful than a regular human being. They have an incredible ability to kick ass.
Mm-hmm.
And so like Hercules, you know, that's one of the things. If you actually go through and you read the myths, which I now am much more educated on this than I was before, thanks to History Channel. These demigods invariably take on these massive quests of valor to try to prove that they are strong and fearsome and, you know, and totally able to kick ass. And so these guys obviously have powerful abilities. Well, the part that's one of the most fascinating things, and this, I do have to say that there are bloodlines, and the bloodlines have traditionally been within what you would call royalty, although a lot of that royalty is not actually holding power now. A lot of the royal families were deposed, and they are no longer actually running anything as much as they are like behind the scenes. But the point is that these demigods mated with other humans and they had advanced abilities, and over time, the more they've continued breeding, the more that those abilities have tapered off. And so you obviously don't see people walking around who have the abilities of demigods now.
Mm-hmm.
But nonetheless, they did inherit these magical bloodlines, the magic power of these demigods that were extraterrestrial humans. And so it's going to be, at some point, one of our major fascinating disclosures that, in fact, there are groups of humans here on Earth who are now basically people like us, although some of them started from somewhere else. And they've had Stargate technology working, running here on Earth the whole time. And I'm talking 10,000, 11,000, 12,000 years. The Stargates have always been here. We've never...
Have you heard of any Stargate in Iran?
But Iraq. I definitely know there's
Iraq.
One in the southeast corner of Iraq. Fascinating story. I got it from Henry Deacon not too long ago. We spoke again fairly recently. And he was telling me that there's several of these ancient systems that are out there. And one of the ancient systems is remarkably similar to what's in the Stargate SG-1 and Atlantis television show.
Mm-hmm.
The real one, apparently, is under heavily fortified military guard. You have to go through multiple checkpoints, and there's all these buildings around it. So on the ground, you couldn't even see what it was. All you'd see is it looks like there's a military base. But as you go through the checkpoints, you get to the inside, what you find is, of course, a giant ring. And then on either side of the ring are what appear to be these two tall stone pillars that are squared off like obelisks, except that they're quite eroded, and wherever the tips would be, there's nothing there anymore. The tips, if there were tips there, they've broken off. But basically you have this ring, and they typically don't like to use these ancient gates because the ancient systems give you a wormhole ride. And it's actually been depicted at the end of the movie Contact. Now, I worked with, and I am working with, Jim Hart, who was the guy who sat for 2 years with Carl Sagan and developed that screenplay. Carl Sagan never once let Jim know that there was any truth behind what they were writing.
Mm-hmm.
But I've heard from other people who are very much plugged in that Carl Sagan was a member of Majestic 12 directly, and he knew exactly what was going on. And that's why there's so much disclosure in that movie. I was actually quite buffaloed when I realized that the writer didn't know what was going on. And again, I got that firsthand. We've spoken many times about that, and Carl never gave the slightest tip of the hat that there was something going on. But nonetheless, if you look at the end of the movie Contact, or if you look in the television show Stargate, and there's a few other examples out there, that wormhole ride is what happens when you go through one of these ancient gates. The problem is that the level of psychic attunement that you need to have to go through this is a level that we don't normally possess. And this goes back to what my contact from the Montauk Project, or what they actually call Phoenix 3, because Phoenix had two other phases before it got to that stage. This guy, Daniel, brought out some very interesting information. For those of you who don't know, Phoenix 3 was basically a seat from a UFO. I've talked about this in my online video, 2012 Enigma. A seat from a UFO that was hooked up to a power supply. Excuse me. And the power supply allowed this UFO seat to become a psychic amplifier for the person who sits in the chair. And there was only one guy who could really run the chair well, although they did have a rotating team of other people that were trying to run the chair. But the guy who could run it well was named Duncan Cameron. He's still around. And I know people, other people who have been closely acquainted with him. So when they... You know, Duncan had to have a very advanced psychic ability to be able to run the chair. He had to put his mind into something called quiet point. And there were a series of wavelengths that the chair would give off. And when his mind went quiet, some of these waves would, they would all be still, but some of them would look like a big slope, and some of them would look more like a flat line, and some of them would look like a more gentle slope, but they all basically stay still. And then when they're all still, the operators of the chair would have to do something called zeroing out the chair, where they crank these little knobs under the wave of each wave, and it tunes the machine so that the actual chair is tuned to that person's frequency. All the waves go flat. That's the point. So you crank the knob so that the wave looks flat. Once the chair is zeroed out, it then serves as a psychic amplifier for the human consciousness. And so it's important to point out when the chair itself doesn't actually make the Stargate. We have the ability to make a Stargate with our consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
The chair simply gives us the power boost that we need to actually do that. But the chair doesn't make the Stargate. The chair just gives us the energy that we need to be able to do it. That's a fascinating distinction that I didn't really make clear in the 2012 video that people have asked me about. And eventually, we will reach the point where we can do this on our own without the use of any technology at all. And that's where we get into more of these sort of ascended categories of being. And there's many masters here on Earth who have accomplished that, have been able to teleport themselves or even bilocate, things like that.
And I always thought that, we've been in this war for so long, and it just seems like to control the area, and I had thought maybe there was a Stargate or something that was there that was the real reason for being there, you know?
There's been a lot of speculation of that. I think that it was, I do think that on a blunt physical level, a lot of it was oil. But definitely
mm-hmm.
there was a Stargate component to this as well.
Yeah. Last time we talked, you had brought up Blick. The different nations that were, for lack of a better term, the white Illuminati or the other faction that was counteracting what the elite were doing.
Well, most of the people in Brazil, Russia, India, China don't have white skin, but, you know, I would say they're the good guys, you know.
Yeah, so...
I know you didn't mean white in terms of the skin,
Light, okay. Light, good, whatever. But the point is, I mean, is this part of the China October surprise? Is know what I'm getting at? Is this part of the China October surprise?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. Let's get into that a little bit.
Well, I'll tie into that by, because a lot of people are going to be pissed off if I don't finish what I was going to with this other thing about the Stargate. And then I'll tie back into that. So Daniel's work with this seat that opens up gates that you can go through, they had to work with ETs in order to perfect this technology. And one of the things they found out was that if you send people through these Stargates, they can easily go crazy. It's very difficult for an average human being to do that, to go through something like that. And they also found that your biological age would change. Like, for example, if you're sent into the future of where you are now, your body will quickly age to what level of age you should be in the future.
Wow.
And apparently this is like a natural law that's been designed to keep us from violating the rules of nature. So the way that system works is called a zero time reference. When you're born, actually it's when you're conceived, is the moment where there's an anchor point between your physical body and your astral or spiritual body, which they actually call the transient. On the insider programs, a lot of them call it the transient body. So that anchor point at the moment of conception is your zero time reference, and if you want to be able to get any type of extra sensory perception, it always comes back to meditating, going to the quiet point within yourself, and then cranking the timeline back in time until the point where you were conceived, which is a psychological process that actually does require healing all your childhood issues and balancing out all that stuff. And I go into extensive detail on how to do this and all this black ops information in my online seminar that you can buy on the website for $77. It's called Access Your Higher Self. So you can get a lot more on this stuff in that video, which we're now post-producing, and we're going to release it as a professional version. For people who bought the original, they're going to be able to watch the professional one as well.
Okay.
Anyway, zero time reference is when your astral body and your physical body are aligned. They did find that there are ways to shift your zero time reference. So they can send you into the future and then shift your ZTR, as they call it, or zero time reference, but we'll call it ZTR. They shift your ZTR so that it's like conversant with the age that you are now for wherever you end up going. And I've never really had it explained to me how they do that. But nonetheless, the problem is that there's a reality that you can go into where your ZTR becomes nebulous. It's like it can shift around easily, and it's not tethered to wherever you were when you were born. You go into like a timeless realm. And when you're going through the Stargate, the ancient Stargate system, your ZTR can easily get shifted because the strength of your ZTR when you're in one of these timeless type of realms is dependent upon your psychic aptitude, how much development you've had to basically be able to retain identity. And so a lot of people have done like psychedelic drugs, and you, if you've ever done them, you know that you lose a sense of self. And you kind of become more of an observer, and if you really, really trip out, you have, like you could look at a bowl and be like, I wonder what that's for. And you don't even have, you can look at any of the stuff around you, and a part of you knows what it is, and another part of you is, like, totally willing to accept an alternative explanation. You don't even know if the floor is going to hold you up. I actually had that experience one time. It's kind of schizophrenic-sounding stuff, but... The point is that when you go into these parallel universes and stuff, it's a very similar experience to being on psychedelic drugs. And if you don't have the ability to maintain a sense of self and stay conscious enough and stay aware enough, then you can shift your ZTR, and when you come out on the other end, you now have what they call transdimensional disorder, which means that your ZTR has shifted from where your physical body was, and it can get that can cause a lot of problems, and people can go crazy.
I would think so.
Yeah, so it's there's a medication that they give people, several different types of medication that they give people to be able to go through these gates. But then it's the modern stargates that they're using that really don't have that problem. You basically instantaneously go from one place to another, and there's no lag time. So we have this, just to finish off this whole series of thoughts before we go into what's happening now, there is a lineage of people who are descended from extraterrestrial humans. They had advanced abilities, and that's, in fact, part of what allowed them to help build our society. These extraterrestrial humans were of immeasurable help in building our society, and their descendants basically ran the show for a long time. And that's why you have divine right of kings and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what's happened is that there has become a negative trend. Again, these people were not negative in the beginning, but there's become a negative trend that's woven itself through a lot of this stuff, and those negative folks have actually kind of seized control over a lot of the other ones. But there's a lot of people in there who are not buying into the negative agenda, and that's why I really, really decry this trend on the internet of xenophobia, where people think, oh my God, Illuminati, they're all evil, we got to kill them, we got to get rid of them. There's so much signs within these groups of mass disquiet. They don't like what's going on. They don't want to be involved. They would get out if they could, but if you try to get out, they'll hunt you down and kill you. But what's now happening is the rest of the world is aware that these people exist, and they don't want to have a 4.5 billion person reduction in global population. Now, the argument is that this is going to be good for the environment, that it's going to promote the restoration of the biosphere and allow the planet to restore to its original state. But I firmly and emphatically believe that this is a cover for what does amount to racism, in the sense that a lot of these folks are effectively Caucasians. Caucasians are some of the most recent extraterrestrial lineage to come to the Earth. Caucasian is not native to this planet at all. And so they actually do see Caucasians as superior to other races. And whether it's an uncomfortable subject or not, and I know that it is uncomfortable, but it is a fact, from what I've heard on the inside, that they basically want to get rid of a lot of these other people who are not Caucasian. They're not so worried about Caucasian people. I mean, they certainly are willing to let a lot of them go, but that's the main race that they want to try to keep on the planet. And again, this is psychosis. I mean, this is just insanity.
Yeah.
And it's hard to even have a straight discussion with somebody when they start going into something like this. And, you know, I in no way, it's just insane to promote genocide. And yet what's happening is that these guys are now making their endgame maneuvers. And here's the trick. They're trying to get this population reduction, but they're doing it much too hastily because they've run out of time. They are now being closed in upon by everybody else in the world. There is a massive worldwide effort being made to shut these guys down. And again, it's only the people at the top that are really the ones promoting the negative agenda. Most of the people that are in this group, of which there are probably millions, there's definitely over a million of them, at least in America. I don't know how many there are outside that in the rest of the world, but we know there's about a million. So these people would get away if they could, but they're being kept held prisoner by their leaders, and the leaders are the ones that are really promoting this agenda. These people were born into it. They are abused from the time they're born, if not before they're born, and they have to go through all this astonishingly awful stuff that does make them extremely, extremely strong people. They go through training processes that involve the use of mind manipulation. And the average person, if you were to go through what these people have to go through, it would make you have a mental break and you would end up needing to be institutionalized. It's only because they've been going through this since the time they were very young that they can actually handle this type of treatment and not completely die from a heart attack or, you know, or otherwise lose their ability to function as a mental, you know, as a mind.
Right, because this is just the way it is. They grew up that way.
Yeah, it's the procedures involve a combination of sort of short-term, highly psychedelic drugs, the usage of hypnotic triggers and suggestions, the usage of certain films that actually impose programming within the film, and then the usage of electroshock as a form of operant conditioning where they're trying to get people to be loyal to the group. The loyalty of the group is actually the main program that they install. But this program is installed effectively under torture.
Yeah.
And they create these partitions in your mind. They have to get to you before you're 3.5 years old or else it won't work. And even if you're 3.5 years old or younger, that's when you get what they call a core split. And that means that you actually have an amnesic barrier against this other part of yourself. So there can literally be people in the Illuminati who do not know that they are in their waking daily life. They have a lot of clues. If you wake up and you have the phone off the hook in your hand, that's a darn good clue that there's something going on. If you find yourself compelled to go to bed at night and you're wearing your clothes and you don't know why, but it just seems like the right thing to do, that's another very good clue. And again, there's very few people that this is going to apply to, and I in no way want to encourage paranoid schizophrenia, because unfortunately there's a lot of people out there who write in and say some really crazy stuff, and I'm aware that this will make people more crazy. So I don't try to go into a whole lot of detail about this stuff, because people start having a paranoid fantasy that all this stuff is happening to them. Most of the people out there, in fact, almost everybody listening, this does not apply to you. And you're not being mind controlled, and you're not in some secret group that you don't know about. If you were in this group, there would be plenty and plenty of memories that are easily available to you of being involved in rituals and things like that. And all you got to do is just think a little bit, and you'll start remembering lots of them.
Mm-hmm.
It's mostly fear that keeps you from looking at it. But anyway, these people do not want to be in this group. The majority of them do not want to be in this group. And it's like, I don't know what the heck we're going to do about it, because I'm hearing some very, very disturbing reports that really make me very upset. And the latest reports that I'm hearing now is that because a lot of people's covers are being blown, we're already seeing, like, for example, people who are working undercover, who've been working for these guys, they're being killed in the most appalling, torturous manners possible. And yet, they may not have voluntarily gotten those jobs. They may be doing those jobs because they had no choice, and everybody's covers are getting blown now, and as a result, they're sometimes dying under the most hideous tortures imaginable. And this is starting to happen. I'm getting this from a very, very high source. These guys are being systematically hunted down, and again, the knee-jerk response that most people would have when they hear that is, hallelujah. The part that I feel regretful about is that it's happening with extreme violence. There's great, great acts of humanitarian tragedy that are being done against some of these people now. And that obviously is going to make them very concerned and all the more protective. Now, I do think that probably as this whole thing starts to break open even more than it is now, that if anybody out there listening is actually a member of this group, I think your best bet is to not wait for them to come to you. I think your best bet is to take protective measures now, request amnesty, and be willing to speak before some sort of truth tribunal. You do not want to wait until they come to you and start tearing you apart, because this is what's starting to happen. And I am certainly happy to be one of the people out there as a spokesperson to say, look, we cannot reenact Hitler's Wehrmacht.
No.
We are not animals. We are not monsters. Hitler convinced everybody that if you're a Jew, you are the devil, and you deserve nothing more than hideous torture. And Germans may not have known the full extent of what was going on in the concentration camps, but you better believe they knew that the Germans were purging the Jews because they were very angry. Now, they had to put money in wheelbarrows, and on my website I told a story about these two kids who brought German marks to the center of town in a big basket, and they were hoping just with all that money that they could buy like a little bit of food for their family. And the kids were kind of naive, and they ran to the store windows to look inside and see what was there. And when they turned around, someone had stolen the basket, but not before they dumped out all the German marks on the road. That's how low value the currency had. The basket was worth more than this heap of money.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have the amount of economic suffering that's caused by that, then everybody wants somebody to blame. Well, what do? You shift the public's blame towards this group of people. And it's starting to happen now. There is so much xenophobia on the internet. Everybody wants to believe in a black and white world, in a unilateral devil, and say, oh, there's the devil. There he is, you know. And anybody that is in this group is the devil. Well, guess what? Now, I'm not saying that I know any of these people personally, because I don't. But I am significantly well aware that there are more A-list actors in Hollywood than you would care to ever know who are members of this group. That's one of the divisions of the group is media. And as I said, it's like we kind of consider these people our family in the mainstream media. Would you advocate the same kind of torturous treatment of them too?
Yeah.
So I think that what's going to happen at some point is that there's going to be sort of an astonishing breakthrough where some of these people break ranks and actually say, they come out clean and say, look, you know, this is what's going on. We were involved in this group. It's been going on for thousands of years, and da-da-da. And there's a big disclosure like that, because if you read what's going on with Benjamin Fulford, and again, periodically we get some stray gunfire from people saying, oh, Fulford isn't credible. Well, I completely disagree. Benjamin Fulford was the East-West editor for Forbes magazine. He has been in contact with insider sources who have revealed information that later was proven to be true based on what happened in the media on many occasions. He got tipped off to the economic failure that happened in 2008. There's plenty of evidence that he's in contact with real people. And in fact, there have been so many times that Fulford comes up with something that I was independently hearing from my own insiders.
For
and again,
folks that don't know who that is. Who is that?
Who is who?
Benjamin Fulford.
Oh, as I just said, he was the East-West editor for Forbes magazine.
Okay.
He lives in Japan. He was actually doing an investigative journalism on where all this money that Japan was making was going, because
mm-hmm.
Japan has a massive financial surplus. And it's like, where the... Sorry, that was my call waiting. Where the heck is all the money going? So what happened was, he actually tracked it down, and he was able to discover that it all traced back to the Rockefeller faction, which was originally started by the Rockefellers. It doesn't seem that they're running it anymore, but it's the sort of the U.S. version of the Illuminati, which now is actually in strident opposition to the European or Rothschild faction. And the war that started to go on there was that when Fulford found out that the Rockefeller faction was absorbing all this wealth out of Japan and basically doing it under gunpoint, Fulford's life was threatened, and he was offered the opportunity to join the Illuminati or else be killed. And he would have been given a very powerful position as like a foreign diplomat or something, and he refused, and only because he was then contacted by representatives of another group that were effectively resisting the Illuminati. And this group has now formed something that he's calling the White Dragon Society, which includes a fairly good percentage of people in the Pentagon A lot of the people who are not on the negative side that are in the Vatican but are well aware of what's going on with the Vatican. There's a lot of different groups in Asia that are involved with this, and I go through that in my latest article on the website. So Fulford's background is that he started out mainstream. He was a prominent writer. He was literally the main guy that was Forbes' contact between, like, Asian countries and the Western world, because he's bilingual. He can speak Japanese fluently and English.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not very common. And if you actually are Caucasian over there in Japan and you speak Japanese, that gives you enormous credibility. And there's very few people who can do that. So that's part of why he's so highly respected. And in fact, you see him on his website, benjaminfulford.typepad.com. He routinely blogs in hiragana, which is the Japanese language, in writing, you know, hiragana and kanji. So there's no question that he's bilingual, and there's no question that he's doing conferences in Japan, releasing videos that are all in Japanese. And I am completely convinced that he's in touch with real insiders who are giving him real information. Now, a lot of times there's disinformation. He's gotten many things that he's been told that are wrong. But he's also been very edgy about the extraterrestrial thing. I understand it. I mean, it seems like you're completely cutting the tethers to your credibility when you start going into ETs. And so he's very reticent to do it. But hopefully this weekend I'm going to be releasing audio of an interview where I tried to get him to go into some information, some detail, because he's now saying that the Chinese were contacted by a group of ETs in the 1940s that had been horribly mistreated by the U.S. Now, we never get straight confirmation, and I asked him this, were these the same people who were affected by the Roswell crash and by the fact that ETs were held hostage? He said, I don't know. I wasn't told that.
Mm-hmm.
But it strongly sounds like that's what it was.
Yeah.
And so, naturally, if you can trace the thought through in your mind and say, okay, people in the Roswell crash, many insiders say that one of the things that the Roswell beings had in their hands was called the cube, and it's an ability to look through time that this machine generates for you. They also call it the yellow disc because there's this little thing that looks like a yellow disc that sits on top of it when it pops open. But you basically think about what point in time you want to look at, and then it shows it to you in a holographic form. So if these Roswell beings had the cube, which I totally believe they did based on multiple insider testimonies, then they can see the future, and they could see that even if China didn't seem like much more than a very large, almost medieval country for that time, that they would become a formidable world power in the future. So I believe this is what's going on, that the people that were in the Roswell crash, who were effectively good people, you got to remember now, if you actually go into what the real insiders say, the Roswell beings are not grays. That's a very common misunderstanding. You go back to the original data, people who actually saw them, they looked like children, like 10-year-old children with large heads and unusually large eyes. But the eyes are like our eyes, just much bigger. They're not black.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a very common problem that people have when they look at this. Because, again, most of the people out there are human. And even the ones who do have black eyes, we now know that that's not the way they really look biologically. That's just a form of sunglasses that pop over the eye like a contact lens. And it has all this computerized stuff inside of it that allows them to be able to, use technology that's coming from their ship or stuff that they have in their hands, and they can get a lot of advanced information that they wouldn't be able to see otherwise. It's like a heads-up display. It's like a cockpit.
Mm-hmm.
But it's right inside their eyes. So there's all kinds of things they can do with those visors that make it a valuable technology to have. Plus, it shields their eyes from the solar radiation of their native planet, which is usually like much too bright for their naked eye to see.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, these beings, what we're now learning from Fulford, and I feel this is legendary information, it's breakthrough stuff in ufology that we're now getting all these connections being made. The Roswell people, the people that were the families of the ones that got captured, went to China and brokered a deal with them. And they have literally been working since the 1940s, ever since, in this plan to defeat the Illuminati, which has only started to actually go into the working phase since September of this year. They've waited this long to really finally make their move. And I believe the reason why is that there is no value in making their move until the adversary was weak enough that whatever they're going to do would actually be effective. So that's a very important point. There's been a lot of extraterrestrial assistance to the Chinese behind the scenes and to their allies, Brazil, Russia, India, China, or BRIC. And this assistance has, to a large degree, involved an economic battle, which is why you had the 2008 economic collapse. If you actually look at the presidential election, don't fool yourself for 1 minute into thinking that anybody in the Rockefeller faction wanted there to be a total economic collapse right before the presidential election. That didn't help anybody.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted John McCain to be president. They did not want Obama to be president. Hillary was the European faction's chosen candidate, and John McCain was the Rockefeller faction's chosen candidate. And the reason why they wanted McCain is that they felt that he was going to die pretty soon, or else they might have even been able to help it along. And nobody would have accepted Sarah Palin as president. In fact, McCain went behind their backs to pick her as his running mate. They did not approve of that. He made this crazy maverick move and did it behind their backs. They wanted him. There was one faction that wanted him to pick Lieberman because the Jewish faction is very strong. There was another faction that wanted him to pick Romney because, believe it or not, Mormonism is very, very powerful in the insider black ops community. And Romney's a Mormon, just
mm-hmm.
like Glenn Beck is a Mormon. And you don't ever hear him talking about Mormonism, but he totally is.
Never.
Well, they've moved most of these facilities away from places like Area 51 and places like the Denver base under the airport. They've moved it all to Utah. And that whole area, it was originally a joke, but now they actually call it Mormania. It consists of like Washington, Oregon, Utah, Idaho. You know, there's this group of states in the Northwest that they want to really protect and have that be sort of like the safe haven in the event that things really go south. But they did not in any way want there to be an economic collapse before the election because literally you have John McCain on national television saying the fundamentals of the economy are sound.
Yes.
And then the next week, bam. And a lot of the funds that went belly up were these hedge funds that are really one of the best Ponzi schemes in town, where you bet against these other stocks, these other companies, knowing when they're going to go down, and then when they go down, because of the way these derivatives are written, they have to basically hand you all their wealth on the way down. It's really corrupt and crazy. So Fulford has been saying that the Chinese engineered this collapse for 2008, and as a result of engineering this collapse, there was a lot of contracts that they had with the Chinese that were leveraged into gold. In other words, when these hedge funds actually went belly up, which again, nobody expected was going to happen, their only recourse is to pay back the debt that they now have incurred in solid gold. But here's the problem. They have spent the gold. They have allocated the gold elsewhere. The gold didn't exist, and they actually had the balls to try to pass off on China after this 2008 major meltdown, to pass off electroplated tungsten. And I've told you this before, Tom. It was,
yeah, I remember.
Tungsten weighs almost exactly the same as gold. All you got to do is drill out a little bit at the bottom of the bar and pour a little lead in there, and then you can make it perfect. Then you electroplate some gold on the outside. The value of any one bar in terms of the gold you're putting in is maybe not more than $1,000, $2,000 at the most. But, you know, now it's become like worth $30,000 in terms of its apparent gold value, if not a lot more than that. I'm not really sure what the value of any one 400-ounce bar of gold is. But clearly, if gold is $1,000 an ounce and you have 400 ounces, you got $400,000. So these are very expensive. So anyway, they passed off an enormous amount of this fake gold all around the world. That came out in 2009. And I think it was also by the end of 2008 that story might have been breaking too. But I believe it was in 2009 that we really became aware of it. Or no, it was 2008. No, it was 2009. I'm sorry. It's very confusing to keep all these facts straight. It was 2009 that the story broke, and we found out that China had been passed fake gold, and they are pissed. And what they're saying is, you guys have to pay up, and we're not going to accept no for an answer. Well, the insiders in the Rockefeller faction have been failing to pay and failing to pay and failing to pay, but nobody has really been able to fully stop them so far. And last year, around this time last year, is when we saw things like the Norway spiral. The Norway spiral, in my opinion, and I've given a lot of credence to this in what I wrote on my website, the Norway spiral was a deliberate attempt to break the seal around disclosure. We also see these same Roswell beings, the ones that are allied with China, they have made many blatant attempts to break the UFO cover-up by flying over Chinese airspace. So if you look in the last year, you look over 2010, you'll find multiple stories of UFOs over the Chinese airport, shutting down the whole airport, freaking everybody out. Well, why don't they do that anywhere else? China is not part of this group. China does not have weapons that would shoot them down out of the sky. That's why they've been doing it over China. But they still haven't gotten as many results as they were hoping they would get in terms of actually shutting this whole thing down by doing this. So cut to, they come up with a plan which is really quite intense. And I only recently have been able to describe the plan in detail because the whole entire thing leaked on the internet on one of the top UFO discussion forums online. And there's all the information. When I went in there and read this, I'm like, oh, my God, this is exactly what everybody's been telling me, and it's already been printed. Therefore, I don't have any security risk in saying it. So what happened is this, and this is really – I was so blown away when I heard this story because the Chinese delivered by courier to the actual palaces or White House or whatever of every country in the world, they delivered these packages as of July, and they did it like simultaneously. It must have been very coordinated. Once the packages were actually dropped off, people were told, if you open this before October 13th, it's going to blow up 6-mile radius around the package. There will be nothing left, not anything. It's just going to be a big giant crater. And I'm assuming that they were told that if you move the device, it's going to go off as well. So like they couldn't quarantine it. They couldn't make it go away. But they said, don't worry, if you open it on the 13th, all we're saying is open the box. There's nothing in the box that's going to hurt you. But you have to wait till the October 13th before you can open it. And also they were told if you don't open the box within a certain finite time that it will also go off. So anyway, what happened is a lot of the world leaders waited until the 14th. They were really freaked out by this, but they did open it up. And inside, what they found was blueprints for free energy devices and a working prototype of a device that you can drop into an ordinary automobile as a little battery, and you can get 1,000 miles to the gallon on water and literally run your car on water. Now, why would they do this? The Chinese, obviously, part of why they want to do this is that they're already like the major industrial power in the world now. And if free energy was out and available, they no longer have to fight over oil and resources, and they can develop even more. Now, according to Benjamin Fulford, the Chinese do not want to reduce population. They're not trying to kill off everybody. They have introduced population controls in their own country, but they're not trying to do a mass genocide. However, there is an ongoing effort being made now that this stuff is leaking to make it appear that the Chinese are trying to ruin the planet, that they're trying to kill 70% of the population of the Earth, that these ETs that they're in conjunction with are trying to basically transform Earth's biosphere to be more habitable for them, but in the process actually make it unhabitable for us. And I was shocked in episode 10 of NBC's The Event television show that you have a missile launch, which, as I say in my article, the missile launch off the coast of Los Angeles did seem to be by the Chinese. I mean, they're firing one off right in our backyard and saying, hey, look, what are you guys going to do here? So things are getting really crazy because the Chinese deliver this package, okay? Everybody gets it on October 13th, and they basically say to all these world leaders, surrender, you know, you've screwed us financially. We don't want you running the planet, mostly the Illuminati countries. We don't want you running the planet anymore. We have the technology to completely wipe you guys out. Stop what you're doing, or else we're going to go to Plan B, and we're going to continue this campaign. By this point, they already had deployed the Stuxnet virus, which is an anagram that says U.S. next, and then it also has an extra T. Well, the extra T is extraterrestrial. U.S. next means we're going to go after our enemies in China first, and of course 6 million computers go down in China, as well as 1,000 corporate firms. So that's why you can't just say, oh, the Red Chinese, oh, the Red Scare, oh, it's all communism, and it's all this, and it's all... No. Fulford, in my interview with him, which I'm about to release this weekend, said that there's 6 factions in China. It's like so complex because you got 1.5 billion people. So to try to narrow all that down as if it's only one thing and one government and one faction and everybody thinks the same way like a hive mind is ridiculous.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's the group that's involved in what's going on here. I don't think that the communist Chinese are the ones doing this at all. So anyway, this story is really convoluted and complex, but I hope that I'm making it clear enough. I'm actually going into more detail in some ways than I did on my website. So these packages were delivered. They were opened on October 13th. The Stuxnet virus had already been deployed. The virus uses weird quantum mechanics principles, and let me explain what I mean by that. There are ways in which you can take existing computer hardware and actually make the components overload the diodes by putting a backflow through some of the diodes. Diode is an electrical component that actually allows circuits to only flow in one direction. But if you overload the diode going backwards, then it starts to reach a place called avalanche. And if you bring it to 10% towards avalanche, which means it's 10% of the way towards actually melting, then at that point, you get all these weird signals that come through. The signals are basically information that comes directly out of what I would call the source field, or what the Russians would call torsion fields. You get all these jiggles, and you can then modulate that current enough to be able to pick up the jiggles that are coming off the diode. And Dr. Robert Mueller has developed this into a working technology in Germany, and he uses ordinary desktop computers. You can actually get the diodes in these computers to do this. So apparently, the Stuxnet virus was designed by these extraterrestrials, and it actually uses that principle of turning a regular computer into a quantum detection device, and it can actually download its own updates from the quantum field. And that's why, if you read the article I put up there, it's a fascinating, fascinating story. This virus was dynamically changing itself to the needs of basically breaking down Iran's nuclear reactor, the Bushehr. And, you know, viruses don't have that level of complexity. A virus shouldn't be intelligent. So what people don't realize is it's using this quantum principle to be able to download what it needs as it goes along. When it finds a certain obstacle, they can monitor that, and then they just give it new code using this quantum interface. But it is essentially a regular virus. And, of course, the virus has infected much more than what we've heard out in the open. A lot of these different black ops communities were infected by it. In fact, as ridiculous as this sounds, a lot of these guys are using Windows operating systems in their machines, which are loaded with holes.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why you're seeing, you know, like the Defense Department's all gone to Mac. because Mac is much safer, and they've had this problem with what they call the quantum virus. So anyway, China, as of October 13th, says, lay down your arms, stop what you're doing. These people, these insiders, say, no way in hell, we're not surrendering, we'll never surrender under any circumstances. China, with the help of their ET allies, then begins systematically deactivating all kinds of equipment. And so I'll give you a little rundown of the timeline here. You get on October 21st, you get an oil refinery near Chicago that breaks down. On October 22nd, you get an oil refinery in Rodeo, California that breaks down. Also on October 22nd, the brand new British nuclear sub, the HMS Astute. Now, this is bright and shiny, right off the showroom floor, the biggest, best, most high-tech sub they've ever built. The whole thing loses its main power systems, its backup power systems. It totally runs out of juice, and it actually crunches up against the shore in Scotland, against the rocks, and is damaged right when it first is on its maiden voyage. And this is part of what they're doing with this EMP technology. The very next day, October 23rd, fully one-ninth of the entire U.S. intercontinental ballistic missile arsenal, over 50 Minuteman missiles, went offline. It was unlike anything that they've ever seen in the history of warfare. They went completely offline, and they came back online. But again, this was China saying, you can't use your missiles, we're going to shut them down. Then, on October 28th, the French send out this nuclear-powered aircraft carrier, the Charles de Gaulle, to the Persian Gulf to escalate existing tensions that are already there, because you have all these, there's over 20 different ships representing the U.S., Rockefeller faction, etc., that are already in the Persian Gulf. They're poised and ready for a big, nasty war to start, because, of course, what they want to do is they want to go after Iran. So that's part of what this is about. But in that location, they could go after other countries as well. They're kind of hoping for some big, nasty war. So the French set sail to go join this fleet on the 28th of October, and on the 31st, they have a complete breakdown of the nuclear carrier to the point that they can't even reuse it. They've basically decommissioned it permanently. So whatever the damage was that was done was so vast that they're not even going to ever use it again.
Jeez.
Then on November 3rd, only a few days after this happened, there's an electrical fault at the largest American nuclear power plant, which is in southern Texas, and it took them almost an entire month to get it to go back online, and it gives an enormous amount of power out. Then the very next day, November 4th, Qantas, which is an Australian airline, Australia is very central to this black ops community, lots of bases out there, lots of employees out there. Qantas has an engine fire in one of their planes flying over Indonesia, and they end up grounding all of these Airbus A380 planes.
Yeah.
It causes this massive problem. Now, that's an Airbus. That's one particular company. Well, the very next day, and I mean the very next day, oh, isn't that interesting? I'm getting a call on my cell phone from people from Coast, so I think I'm going to be on Coast again pretty soon.
That's okay.
Cool. Anyway, the very next day, November the 5th, there is a Boeing 747, a completely different jet by a completely different manufacturer. The very next day, Qantas Airlines gets hit with an engine problem. Now, this is the thing. They're like, oh, well, you know, it's a maintenance issue, or it's this or it's that. It's two completely different companies. Okay? Then on November the 7th, you get in Atlanta, Georgia, which, again, is a major hub for black ops, you get a complete shutdown of the 9/11 system showing us, okay, look, we can shut down your ability to, use your 9/11 system. By November the 8th, Qantas uncovers even more engine problems. They find all these hairline fractures in all different planes that they've got in their fleet, and they have to ground a whole bunch of airlines. Then that same day that they discover that, November 8th, there are two different nuclear power plants, one in New York and one in Vermont, and they both shut down within 1 hour. And these people that write the article have the audacity to call it a complete coincidence.
Yeah.
That exact same day, dude, that exact same day, the Carnival Splendor, a cruise ship, a huge brand-new cruise ship, has a total failure. The propulsion systems go down. The communication systems go down. The electrical system is totally fried. They can't do anything. They are literally stranded out there in the ocean. It starts to smell like feces and vomit. The people are eating spam. They have to actually fly in spam and canned food for the passengers. It was certainly not the vacation they signed up for. And it was drifting for days, and they actually had to tug it back to shore with a tugboat. And then on that exact same day, so remember now, I've already said on the same day you have New York and Vermont nuclear power plants shut down. They call it a coincidence within 1 hour. The same day, this cruise ship shuts down and is stranded. The same day, all of the Time Warner channels in Cleveland, Ohio, shut down. Now, some people said it was only the first 15 channels, but other people said that it was all of them. For exactly 90 minutes, there was nothing Time Warner could do. It was a total freeze of every station. And interestingly enough, it happened during the exact time that George W. Bush was on for the first hour from 8 to 9 p.m., interviewed on NBC.
Talking about his book, his new book.
Yeah. And then for the next half an hour, it's that television show, The Event, talking about Disclosure.
Mm-hmm.
The very next day, you have this massive missile launch off the coast of Los Angeles. I mean, there is a pattern here.
Every day,
something is happening, right? And people are saying, oh, well, it's got to be a contrail, and people have attacked me. No, this is not a contrail. This is something a lot more than that. Then, you know, as one day after the missile launch, over the New York skyline, this straight line of energy shows up in the sky, and it just sits there, which they call a fire. But that, again, is showing this use of this technology. Then from this point, there's only been three more documented things. So as far as anything that's out in the public, as far as equipment that's out in the public, it's pretty much tapered off, except for three other incidents. There was another oil refinery in Texas that actually had a failure and released hydrogen sulfide toxic gas. That was on November 15th, and I thought it had all stopped. But then on November 28th, there was an oil refinery in Kansas that has an equipment failure and again releases hydrogen sulfide and sulfur dioxide, which is very toxic. Now, again, these amounts are trace, and they're not enough to actually hurt people. They can be quarantined pretty easily. So November 15th, refinery in Texas, November 28th, refinery in Kansas, and then December 4th, a refinery in Louisiana. So you're seeing failure after failure after failure of oil-producing refineries.
Mm-hmm.
And now people are starting to do their own research and finding other examples, including a Russian space probe that seems to have failed. But what I've now heard from these same insiders that I'm speaking to is that the campaign is much more vast than what I just explained to you. There are many, many, many other pieces of hardware that are being disabled or destroyed or made electrically non-functional. But the thing is, these are stuff that's in the black ops community. These are reverse engineered technologies. These are military technologies. There's all sorts of stuff. And so if the people out there listening right now want to check this out a little more, I recommend that you take some time and think about the fact that you might be finding bulletins from the military about a mysterious failure, and they're probably going to say that it's the result of dust or that it's the result of, you know, computer error or whatever. But look again and look for these types of military hardware problems. So,
yeah.
In conclusion, what is happening now is that this war has kind of gone away from stuff that's out in the public. They're now using this technology against things that are on the inside. I have been saying this, and I'm going to say this, the insiders are trying to destroy the economy. The Chinese, with the help of their extraterrestrial allies, have effectively intervened at the last minute. This is going to come to a head, I don't know when, but a good focal point for some stuff to happen is going to be around the end of January. Multiple sources have said the Federal Reserve simply will not last past the end of January. They are going to voluntarily be shutting down. Now, I've also heard that at the top levels of this insider Illuminati group, if you want to call it that, that they are going to be outing a lot of their own people who have basically like been disloyal or have, or they've caught them, but the people don't know that they've been caught yet. People who've kind of turned their backs on it, there's going to be a big purging. And it's already started. There's a lot of stuff going on. There's a lot of people who are involved in this illicit economic system that involves central banking and the massive, massive bank accounts that these people are given. And a lot of those people have already been rooted out and imprisoned. There is an incredible, incredible purging going on. And I'm frankly astonished that I can still talk about this and people are going to be like wondering if it's true, because with all these equipment failures that I just described and a missile being launched right up our ass in our backyard, I mean,
yeah.
Come on. You know, the government is covering it up, yes, but do you really think that wasn't a missile? Do you really think it's just a contrail? Right after our own missile arsenal gets shut down, right after you have the cruise ship get shut down, right after you have all these Australian jets getting shut down, nuclear power plants in Russia, in New York and Vermont, rather, within 1 hour, they call it a coincidence. You know, the largest nuclear power plant in America was shut down on November 3rd. The French nuclear aircraft carrier gets shut down when it's on the way to the Gulf. The brand new British nuclear sub gets shut down right as it goes out on its maiden voyage. I mean, this is big stuff. And nobody's put it together, except that there's some leakage happening in these blogs, like these online discussion forums, where they're talking about this stuff. And that's what made me finally feel comfortable, because it's like, okay, well, I'm going to come out and say what I know. Now, I will also say that there is other things that I know that I am not prepared to talk about, and people have really gotten on my case about this. David, why don't you name who your insiders are? Why don't you be more specific about which one said what? Why don't you tell us everything they told you? The problem with that approach is that if I tell you everything, it would actually potentially get me killed. And so there are other layers to this story that I cannot say and I will not say. But again, it's very distressing in terms of the humanitarian consequences for people who are in this group who may not really be guilty, but it's more guilt by association. And some of the deaths that I've heard about that are now happening to these people, really, really horrific torture, cruelty, just beyond imagination. And I don't think that's appropriate, you know.
Yeah.
And but there's a lot of stuff going on. And again, if you're a member of this group, it's terrible. It's really bad for everybody else in the world. Despite the humanitarian catastrophes that are being done here, it's very good for everybody else, because I do think that we're going to have an economic system that's going to be coming out soon. Again, I've heard a lot more about it than I actually can talk about, but it's not the New World Order, it's not one world currency, it's not all this stuff. It's actually a much more legitimate system, because there has been a New World Order and a one world currency for a long time. It's called the U.S. dollar.
Yeah.
And the U.S. dollar was taken off the gold standard and put on the oil standard, and that's all going to be changing. So we're going to see a lot of very interesting things happening here, and I really encourage everybody to stay positive, stay focused on the goal, which is your own consciousness evolution. There's going to be a lot more stuff that I'm going to be talking about with Richard C. Hoagland on this Project Camelot thing that you're going to be able to order. We're going to be doing a long, like, 3-hour conversation about all this stuff, and it's available on ProjectCamelotProductions.com. I believe Carrie's got it listed there now. I have that Access Your Higher Self seminar that came out, which is still available even before we do the post-production version. I also have a series of conferences, and again, if you really want to hear the big, big picture of what I've got to offer, I highly recommend going to one of these conferences. We've got Denver, we've got Seattle, Dallas. There's all these cities that we've launched on our site, and it's well worth the trip, because not only do you get to hear 16 hours of lecture material, but we do live music where I'm the lead singer, and the music's actually quite good. People are amazed when they hear how good our music is. And we have the whole Access Your Higher Self teaching is also there, and people get to meet me. I do make sure when we do these conferences, these long weekend conferences in particular, that everybody gets a chance to meet me. I make sure at the end that everybody has a time to actually shake my hand, give me a hug, that's part of it. The smaller events that I do, I don't have time to do that. But when I do one of these all-weekend events, everybody does get a personal interaction. So we also have coming up, there's something called the TruthCon, which is in Atlanta, Georgia. And that features a veritable who's who list of people in ufology. Stanton Friedman, classic UFO hero going way, way back in time. Dr. Stephen Greer's got a keynote speech. We have just a wonderful lineup of speakers there, and I have 6 hours on Sunday just to me. You can buy that as its own little package, which is less expensive than my other weekend events. I can't guarantee a personal meeting there, definitely not, but it's possible that it will happen. And then I'm also there during the week, so you can order the weekend thing and do it just, you know, you can do just my thing on Sunday, or you can do the whole conference, because I'm speaking on Friday night. Greer is speaking on Saturday night, and there's a lot of great other speakers there. It's slipping my mind right now, everybody who's involved, but it's a great cast.
David, so, while we've got a few minutes here, somebody on the chat room here is asking about the WikiLeaks. Do you know anything about that guy?
Sure. Tom, if you just want to give me 1 minute, I got to go run and use the bathroom.
Okay. We can do that.
All right. I'll be right back.
All right, and while Dave's doing that, let me give out his website for y'all. It's www.divinecosmos.com, and that's just how it sounds, divinecosmos.com. And go to that site. He's got a wealth of stuff that's available for free. A lot of articles and videos and all sorts of cool stuff. And if I'm not mistaken, I think this is about David's seventh time on Mythologic Radio. And he's probably going to sign off pretty soon here. So if anybody else has got a question, you can just type it into the chat room or call the phone number here. It's 724-444-7444. And when they ask for the show ID, it's 59174. So he must have had a lot of coffee, and he'll be back soon. I'm just reading some of the chat room here. Boy, some of you guys should be doing your own shows, some of the stuff that you're talking about. That's great. All righty. And let me remind you, too, about my website, borntomanifest.com. There is a lot of free stuff there as well on mind power and the law of attraction and free articles and videos for y'all to enjoy.
Okay, I'm back.
All righty. Great.
Yeah, that's what happens when you try to drink all 8 glasses of water you're supposed to have for the day in the first 3 hours when you wake up in the morning. People can now confide in themselves that I am actually a human being and I do actually have biological requirements.
All right, but the spaceship is still parked in the backyard. We all know that.
Well, it's just slightly out of phase with visible reality, but yes.
All right, WikiLeaks.
Yeah, Julian Assange, from what I've heard from some sources, was actually CIA employee. And I did not say that on my website, but I have heard that from at least one source. I don't know if it's true. Originally, this was supposed to be a sanctioned disclosure. It appears that it came from, based on what the TBRnews.org site is saying, it appears that it came from the Obama administration, specifically because there was a stranglehold that the Republicans had over these wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. And Obama is basically boxed into a corner because the Republicans have such political power that if he does anything to try to get out of those wars, they will just come down on him with all gunfire and holy thunder. It's like there's nothing he can do. He's pinned in a corner. So So the original intention appeared to be, let's leak this stuff that shows how terrible these wars are to create this wave of public indignation, which will then give a natural conclusion where there's momentum where, hey, we got to get out of there. This is crazy. This is just like Vietnam all over again. It's horrible. Unfortunately, what's happened is that because the Republicans swept through and regained majority control of the House of Representatives, any plan to actually discontinue the war is not going to be able to work. And so it seems like that's been scrapped. But what has happened, and this is very interesting, if Julian was in any way working for these people in the beginning, he basically went rogue. And he went off the beaten track. And what I'm hearing now from other very reliable sources, again, people who really know what they're talking about and have proven that to me many, many times, is that the spin, there's two levels of spin, okay? The mainstream media spin is, oh, he's a terrorist and we got to get rid of him and, you know, it's terrible what he's doing and he's exposing us to vulnerabilities. And that's actually true. You know, what the mainstream media and you know, people like Sarah Palin calling for him to be hunted down like Al-Qaeda and all that stuff, that is actually how they're feeling on the inside. So that's the mainstream media side. Then the alternative conspiracy media side, what they leak out to all these conspiracy bloggers is just the opposite. There, what they're saying is, ooh, you know, well, he's working for us, and he's putting out all this stuff that we want, and it's all under our control, and nothing that is being done is anything that we didn't want, and it's all just part of the plan. That is emphatically and completely not true based on what I'm hearing. What I'm hearing is that the reality is that this has become a massive problem, and there's all sorts of things that are coming out from this that are very damaging, and it's sending shockwaves through the insider community. And this is why what I'm telling you is, when you have the Federal Reserve basically being compelled at gunpoint by the Chinese to release all this information, which we now know almost $13 trillion of no-interest loans that were put out, basically that it's basically like free money that they've handed out to all these firms around the world. They actually did have to make that disclosure. That was unprecedented. That's a very clear, tangible sign you can look at. We're seeing the very clear signs of some sort of war campaign being made, of which the missile launch and the fire over New York a couple days later, next day, was only one visible example. The other examples are the missiles going offline, aircraft carriers, nuclear aircraft carriers going offline, nuclear power plants going offline, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. This is all part of the war that's heating up. I do think it's going to turn into an announcement. So WikiLeaks is a part of this, and it's like, okay, get used to it, because this breaks down the whole news cycle. There's so many individual embarrassing things in WikiLeaks, it's like the media doesn't even have the ability to process all the stuff that's happened in such a short time. Now, I have heard some people in the conspiracy media who said, oh, it's just a bunch of gossipy conversations between diplomats. It's really embarrassing for them, but it's nothing really that serious. That is not true.
Mm-hmm.
The stuff that's coming through WikiLeaks, some of them are official documents, very classified. Assange is already on record saying that he has information in these documents about extraterrestrial life. So this is not just like, here's some interesting documents about this guy in Kansas who saw a UFO that looks like a salad dish hovering over his barn. It's much more than that, I imagine. So we're going to see this whole thing start to unravel. I really do feel that the signs are getting more and more blatant. There's going to be disclosure. I've had a lot of dreams going in that direction. And again, the disclosure formula, which I've told people for so long, you can't pin it down on a date. You got to pin it down on a window. The window requires certain conditions to happen before you will get disclosure. That window involves a spectacular and visibly public defeat of these insider forces that have been running things behind the scenes for so long. Until you see that first, don't expect disclosure, because the forces that can stop you from making a disclosure will stop you until they have been stopped. And when
mm-hmm.
I say stop you, I mean whoever is in power that's going to try to make a disclosure. They will find you. And that's what this whole thing in the event was about. The very first episode had the guy playing President Obama. He was about to make an announcement. He was about to introduce us to these human extraterrestrials that have been here since the 40s, detained in this camp in Alaska. And right before he's going to make the announcement, there's this hijacked airliner that's going to try to fly right into him. And it vanishes into a portal right as it's about to hit him, and the government covers it up, and it lands basically where the Roswell crash was. They're making all sorts of allusions here. But the point is that they can effectively stop anybody from trying to make such an announcement. And once they have been stopped from being able to exert this kind of power, disclosure will follow very soon afterwards. So I do think it's going to happen. I think we have not seen the end of this story at all. And there is going to be a rough period. I do expect that there's going to be some short-term difficulties. That's why I do encourage people to take some precautions. Just buy some rice and beans, for example, some superfood like some spirulina. You don't have to spend a lot of money. But I do recommend having some staple foods on hand, some cooking oil, some spices, sugar, salt, some of the basic things that you might want. Just in case there is a disruption, I don't really think the disruption, if it did happen, would last anywhere near as long as they're telling their own insiders it might last. Because honestly, that's why I wrote part two of my China's October Surprise article, where I talked about the management, as I call it. And some people don't like that term, and they say, oh, well, shouldn't they be called the benevolent angelic protectors of humanity, whatever, da-da-da. Well, the reason why I choose the term management is a lot of people have a misconstrued notion about what management's role really is. They think that these ETs, if they existed at all, would stop anything negative from happening, that people shouldn't have to suffer. There shouldn't, you know, we even had somebody writing comments into the blog saying, well, if management is out there, then they got to stop TSA, because if I go through the airport security, they're going to grope me. That's not management's job. Management's job is to make sure that the planet itself doesn't tip over into Armageddon and apocalypse.
Mm-hmm.
That's why the BP oil spill didn't turn into something worse than it was. Now, granted, there are health problems and there are massive environmental problems that were caused by that, but it did not kill the planet. Just like the swine flu vaccine, people go, oh, my God, they want to kill everybody, Baxter Pharmaceuticals, and da-da-da-da, and they're going to put this thing in there, and they're going to force you to take the shot, and if you don't take the shot, you're going to be quarantined in a FEMA camp, and oh, my God, it's so horrible. And that was like everybody was talking about it. When the BP oil spill was going on, everybody was, I mean, there were so many articles online, and I'm sure you remember this, where they're saying there's no way to plug it. We're never going to be able to stop the leak. It's going to go into all the oceans in the world. Everybody's going to die in 6 months. We're done. We're over. We're finished. Same thing with the swine flu vaccine. Oh, my God. They're going to force you to take the shot. And when you take the shot, you're going to die. You're going to get this flu, and it's going to make you sick, and you're going to start coughing and puking, and the next thing you know, you're dead. None of these things ever happen. They keep saying, oh, my God, we're going to try to collapse the economy. We're going to destroy the economy. Well, there's never been an economic collapse that affects the whole world. So management's job is to basically keep the planet in balance so that, and I said this in part two, if you want to seek the positive, you can. And if you want to seek the negative, you can, and there's equal opportunity to seek in either direction. So if you want to go around you and look for the death and look for the doom and gloom and look for the paranoia and the fear, you will continue to find real things that are hurting real people, like the TSA groping your groin when you go through security. I was actually wondering if I would get selected. I was not going to do the scanner. I would have taken the groping, and then I would have had a story that I could have told my audience about them grabbing my balls in TSA or something, but it never happened. But the management's job is not to stop TSA. I mean, these kind of things, yeah, it sucks. It sucks to be wand raped or to have somebody grab your crotch when you go through airport security, but the reason why we're here is for spiritual evolution. And there are forces that understand that the best way that we crack the shell that we built around our hearts is sometimes through unpredictable upheavals and violation of human rights. So some of these negative forces are allowed to do what they do up to the level that they've been invited. And that's the part that everybody has to look at. The invitation is caused by people focusing on the negative in their own lives.
Mm-hmm.
If you actually are shaming the people you know, if you're humiliating them, if you are nitpicking all the things that they do and criticizing all the things that they do and finding ways to get them entrapped and then holding them and grilling them and being like, why did you do this? Why did you do that? You need to be more of this. You need to be more of that. All these kinds of behaviors, all these things that we do to control people, to manipulate people, to try to get our will met, that is literally casting a vote for there to be a shadowy group that has power in the world that represents the mirror of what you're doing.
Sure.
People want
Absolutely.
To, you know, I mean, there's probably no area of torment that anybody experiences more of than in a romantic relationship. And from what I'm hearing, people's relationships are as difficult as they've ever been. I hear lots of stories from people I know of, there's a lot of relationships breaking up. I mean, even in the media, you have Jenny McCarthy, who was with Jim Carrey, and she was with some other guy, and she just broke up with him and said that, you know, he couldn't handle her fame. And then, of course, you have the reality TV icon Kim Kardashian, who was with this guy for like 1 week, and she just dumped him, and now she's got another guy. So these are like visible outward signs, and then there's all these other signs that I'm hearing from private stories of people that are going through a lot of turmoil, and the economy is really hurting a lot of people, and economics is a major source of relationships, you know, decaying.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's really simple. If you want to vote for the New World Order becoming the Old World Order, if you want to vote for the powers that be becoming the powers that were, just be nice. Be nice to your partner. Be willing to listen. Don't try to enforce your will. Be willing to hear the other side of things. Don't be out there expecting that everybody's got to do what you want and that if you have an emotional problem that it's everybody else's problem. These are the kinds of things that we're doing that we feel so justified. We say, these are my needs. I need this. I need that. Well, think about the fact that even if you feel that somebody else is totally in the wrong and they're being petty and they're being ridiculous, if they have feelings and if you're hurting those feelings, you're actually infringing on their free will. You're actually creating a negative karma for yourself. So on the other hand, it's also very important to point out that if someone is legitimately infringing on your free will, you also have the obligation to yourself to take care of yourself and not let yourself be railroaded. So where the fine line of discernment comes in is saying to yourself, okay, is this person actually doing something that's a genuine infringement on my free will? Or are we just experiencing a difference of opinion? And is my opinion something that I'm trying to enforce, even though it's not necessarily the only way that things need to go? So the fine line is like, okay, do I really need to be going after somebody about this, or am I just doing it because I don't feel comfortable and I'd feel more comfortable if things were different or if I was getting my way?
Mm-hmm.
And that's really where a lot of this stuff comes back to. Another thing that I pointed out in my blog, and I want to say again here briefly, I had an unprecedented amount of nasty letters come in when I made this online video conference accessible to people for $77, and they just thought that I was like making gobs of money and that I have some mansion in Beverly Hills. And the reality is that if I have financing, that's good for the planet, obviously, and it's not appropriate for people out there to expect that guys like you, Tom, or guys like me are just going to do everything, and we're not going to write a book, or we're not going to have a video, or we're not going to have products that represent premium quality content that we're generating that people pay for. Because basically, if somebody comes to me and says, I want you to give me all of your stuff for free, that's a person coming with a handgun and saying they want to enslave me.
Mm-hmm.
They want me to work for them without being paid. And I'm sorry, but you can't keep the lights on and blog all day and eat the air. You have to eat something. You have to pay for the electrical to be able to run the laptop. And the more that you start to do things like conferences, you have to pay thousands and thousands of dollars to rent the venue. The online events require, as we now are finding out, very substantial infrastructure. It's going to cost us a lot of money per month just to run it, but it will allow us to do video conferences. The one that we did was a failure in the sense that we only got a 4 frames per second video. You can watch it, but you got to basically look at my eyes and not at my mouth.
Mm-hmm.
The content is great. I mean, you can listen to it, and it's wonderful, or you can watch it and just kind of not focus on my mouth too much, and it's fine. But we had a problem, and so now we have to fix the problem. So I'm actually hiring people from History Channel to do the shoot for me. In fact, the call waiting that we got earlier was that guy calling me back. So the point is, I don't sit here and collect everybody's money and spend it on myself. I have one car. I have one place to live. I'm not out there going crazy, taking weird vacations and blowing it all on myself. And it's very insulting when people write this stuff in and say that they expect that I should give them everything for free. So we're not going to be publishing most of those letters anymore because it's just not productive. And there's enough people who are telling me, David, we absolutely support you and we want you to be able to not live in poverty. You shouldn't be in a state of despair while you're doing this work.
Well, you know, let me just butt in here, Dave.
Sure, man.
Because we've known each other, I don't know, 2-3 years. And for as long as I've known you, I mean, you have given away so much. I mean, your website is full of free stuff. And kudos for you for charging this, a mere $77 for the kind of information that you're giving out. It to me, it'd be worth thousands of dollars. So,
I mean, thank you so much for saying that. And let's be clear that the Access Your Higher Self, I don't hold anything back. It is a 100% complete teaching. Here's what you need to do if you want to be able to read tarot cards. Here's what you need to do if you want to be able to actually remember your dreams and not only remember them, but then figure out what they mean. Here's what you need to do if you want to be able to do readings. And no one, except we had one person out of everybody who saw that show, only one person complained. And the complaint made it obvious that they didn't pay attention because the things they complained about were answered in the video. This is not generic. This is not just, oh, yeah, you ought to read tarot cards. Oh, you ought to try to remember your dreams. And, oh, you ought to try to listen to the voice inside your head and you'll get readings. This is systematic, comprehensive, detailed instruction, a lot of which is pulled from highly classified secret training programs that allow people to become very psychic that I've heard about that I'm disclosing. And that's part of why I'm making people pay for it, is I don't want to put this out publicly
mm-hmm.
because of the trouble I could get in.
Yeah.
So this is the pure distilled gold. It's like everything that I could give you on how to be able to do what I do, which I didn't even feel comfortable giving people before.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want to create a legion of people out there saying that they're channeling unless they're going to do it right.
Mm-hmm.
But now I'm saying, look, the times that we're in, I want as many people as possible to be able to access their higher self. Granted, a lot of the technique is available in my website if you read through the articles, especially if you go back to some of the older stuff, you'll find a lot of the things that I talk about in this video. But then people are like flaming pissed off and saying, well, if you're going to teach us how to access our higher selves, but you're only going to do it if it costs me money, then F you son of a da-da-da-da, you know.
Yeah.
It's like, look, I mean, we're not talking about a $10,000 buy-in. We're not talking about a $1,000 buy-in. You don't have to pay airfare. You don't have to pay for a hotel room. You don't have to pay a $300 conference fee. All you have to do is scrape together enough money that anybody, even if you have a low-paying job, you can afford it. And it's just astonishing the number of people that sent us vicious, vicious letters. You know, and so I'm sorry to take this much time, and I'm sure that there's going to be another raft of hate just by me taking the time to talk about this. But, okay, I mean, we need to discuss this, because if you're out there listening and you actually feel this is justified, how am I going to be able to help you if I'm bankrupt?
Yeah.
How am I going to be able to continue to give you satisfactory articles if I can't pay the bills to be able to continue to keep the laptop running?
Right.
You know, Richard Hoagland and I were talking about this last week. He thinks that, he was saying to me, you know, people think that you make lots of money when you do this. I mean, none of us are doing more than keeping our heads above water. And it's a very difficult economy. And when you're providing a service like this, it's considered a fringe. People don't need, you know, they don't need to buy your stuff. They can get by without having to buy anything. And so, again, I'm not angry at someone if they have a problem with me charging for content. I do sincerely appreciate every person who listens to my stuff. I sincerely am grateful for all of the people who listen to me and who follow my work. We get hundreds of comments every time I write an article. We get tens of thousands of hits every time I write an article. And the videos that I've done have reached millions of people. And especially now that I'm on History Channel, there's millions more people that are seeing me now. There's probably a viewership of 10 or 15 million people watching that show. And I'm increasingly, there's three different episodes now you can watch me in. There's Underwater Worlds, Underground Aliens, and Alien Tech. And there will probably be more. And I was actually just filmed by another major cable network this past weekend. I had to fly out to Miami and do this whole elaborate thing on Atlantis. So that stuff is happening.
You were talking about maybe some kind of thing on South Beach down there. Just kidding. Just a bad joke, Dave. Sorry.
You have to be able to laugh, you know, because it's I really don't think people understand what it's like to get 300 emails a day, of which at least 1-2% of those emails are hateful.
Yeah.
And it's every day. You know, it's like people always comb through my stuff, and every word that comes out of my mouth I have to be accountable for. So, like, I'm aware, for example, that during this radio show that I said the word ass and I said the word balls. And invariably, somebody is going to say, oh, my God, David's using profanity, and that violates my sense of what he's supposed to represent for the planet. You know, so I did that deliberately. I know that I said ass. I know that I said balls. Okay? And I'm standing behind it.
Well, I stand behind you, man. All right, so talking about giving your time and energy, you just did about an hour and 45 minutes or so.
Yes, sir.
And I know everybody really appreciates that, Dave. Hey, we're 2 years away from 2012. Any final comment?
Well, all the stuff we've been talking about so far, it really does boil down to the spiritual growth.
Yeah.
The negative forces in the world have gotten very captivating. I learned about all this back in a college class I took in 1992. I found out that they were, you know, controlling the world and manipulating people and starting wars for no reason except to secure the flow of oil and all this kind of stuff. And I was grateful to have gotten that perspective, because I went through years of obsessing on the Illuminati. And what I finally came to when I got into this Law of One material and then actually used the techniques that are in the Access Your Higher Self online video to be able to get personal, detailed instruction, I can honestly say there is nothing that is ever going to be more valuable in your life than making contact with your higher self. Christians would call it contacting the Christ, or contacting Jesus, or being saved. It's basically the same underlying point. The point is, There is a part of you that is to you what the Christ consciousness was to Jesus. It's out there right now. It's constantly trying to get your attention. It's doing this through synchronicity. It's doing this through bringing the right people at the right time. It's giving you dreams. The dreams are not garbage. They have meaning. But you have to learn the language. There is a language of dreams. I teach the language in my weekends. I teach it in the online seminar that you can download. And once you start to get the hang of it, you realize that there's an underlying philosophical message that your higher self wants you to know. The message basically is, there's only one of us here. It's all one consciousness. The universe is a single, solitary identity that voluntarily split itself into apparent separate entities, which then had their own free will to do whatever they wanted as they make their meandering path back to oneness once again. That initial split created planes of existence, which then differentiated into stars and galaxies, which then give off planets. The planets then have people on them. Throughout the universe, in fact, the human design is not just unique to one galaxy here in the Milky Way. There's a fairly good percentage of humans throughout the entire universe. There's other designs as well, but the point is, the human design is much more popular than you might think. And we are the end result of what the universe's evolutionary path has led to. The human form is the vehicle through which we experience apparent separation from the Creator, apparent duality, apparent loss, misery, sorrow, suffering, etc. What we're going through right now is a vast illusion. It is staged and upheld like a magic show by these beings, and the beings are not only running the show in terms of what we would normally think of as karma that's good, they also have to manage the bad karma. And the way they manage the bad karma is by keeping these Illuminati on a leash, and the Illuminati themselves don't even realize that there is a leash. They actually think that they get to run the show, control the planet, create a new world order, all this stuff, and it's only just now dawning on them that they're going to be defeated. And all this stuff is happening with China now, and they're being systematically shut down. So as this change in consciousness is occurring, the real reason why the Illuminati are being defeated is not because China has ETs with a ray gun. It's because we as a people are evolving past duality and blaming other people and shame dumping our own negative emotions on others and making them responsible for why we don't feel good. We're learning to be accountable. We're learning to be humble. We're learning to actually drop the ego long enough to say, yes, I was wrong. I made a mistake, and I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
It's so hard to do that. But that's the real work that's going on. If you get all lost in intrigue with Illuminati politics, and I wonder what the ETs are, and I wonder where they came from, you can get your mind lost in a myriad of distractions. But if you want to know what's really happening, we are going through a collective, energetic up-leveling of our own evolution. The energies of the galaxy are transforming the solar system. Global warming and climate change is one small part of an interplanetary effect. I document that very clearly in my weekend workshops and some of the stuff you can watch online, including 2012 Event Horizon, which is a 3.5-hour free video online. Big, big presentation there. So the point is, all of this stuff is changing. The Earth is changing. The warming of the planets is a superficial change, and the real vibrational change is a change in our consciousness. It's up-leveling the way our minds work in the same way that if you have a computer that has a slow operating system, you're not going to be able to run certain software. It'll crash the system. There are certain programs that we can't run in terms of consciousness until our operating system is fast enough to run them. Some of those programs that would crash would include the ability to access your higher self and get direct mental telepathy. But it's a process that can be taught and trained. It's incremental, step-by-step learning. And again, you can practice the exercises that I give you in that online video, and I also give the philosophical points, which are really the core. You don't need to watch the video because the core always does come back to your level of ethical and spiritual development. That's really what this is about. And the real point is, according to what these various teachings are telling us, the Earth is heading into an energetic transformation. The year 2012 does represent some sort of focal point, and it seems more and more evident now that if we don't already have disclosure by then, we will by the end of December 2012.
Mm-hmm.
There will be some sort of formal family reunion with our greater family out there in the galaxy. And I believe that where this is all going is that we're undergoing a quantum evolutionary leap that will allow people to take on a form that is described in the Bible and many other sources as being a completely discontinuous energetic evolution. That's why I encourage you to go back and look in Tibet and India, where you can find 160,000 written, documented cases of people going into what the Tibetans call rainbow body, where your body literally bursts into rainbow colors and turns into energy, and you now have what we would call an ascended light body, and that appears to be where this is going. It appears to be that this evolutionary change is voluntary, it's elective, you don't have to go into light body, you don't have to shift into this higher energy, but after 2012, it will become possible to do that. And it appears that part of what these ETs are going to be doing once we have this family reunion is giving us the teachings that will help us to be able to ascend if that's what we want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a major part of this. But again, the interesting point is that although you will be able to ascend after 2012 with the help and the tutelage of these ETs, the world, what it looks like is going on is that the world will have changed so much after we get this formal worldwide disclosure that you will have to work a lot harder spiritually to get the same results. You will have to work harder to be able to ascend after that point if you haven't been ready by then. Whereas now, because it hasn't become obvious, because it hasn't become a situation where ETs show up, and then you might think that you're going to be amazed and blown away for like years and years and years, but honestly, within a matter of a few months, people will adjust to this. They've been prepared for it. This is not necessarily all negative that you have all these movies and TV shows showing you ETs and extraterrestrials and so forth. We're being prepared so that by the time we actually get the announcement, everybody's going to be, I told you so, I knew it all along, da 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 da.
Yeah.
We're going to have fantastic technology, fantastic liaisons, diplomatic liaisons with other races, but very quickly it's going to become the new life that we lead. It's not going to be so outrageous. It's going to become a new life. If you make your spiritual growth now, if you work on this stuff now, if you come through all of the levels of darkness and you learn to trust in love and not to trust in fear, and you can transcend living in panic and terror and paranoia and distrusting people and manipulating people and controlling people, and you can simply become a vortex of light, loving, supportive, encouraging people, giving them a sense of hope, giving them a sense of direction. When you criticize them, you do it in a way that doesn't violate their self-esteem. All of these things can be tools that will make it so that when this energetic shift finally happens, you are in a much better position and you're much more prepared for it, and you can therefore experience this ascension process much faster. If you're not ready for it, you still have time afterwards. But again, the minimum grade that you need to reach to be ready for this ascension process is almost laughable. It's described in the Law of One series that all you have to do is be 51% focused on helping other people, loving people, supporting people, being kind, being generous. Even if 49% of your life is that you're a crass, manipulative idiot, you still are good enough to go if you're 51% positive.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that you should write yourself a get-out-of-jail-free card and say, well, let me just make sure that I keep it to the 51. And I'll do the other 49 however I want. I mean, that's ridiculous. Obviously, the more you can strive for higher and higher levels of attainment here, the more progress you'll make. But I'm really starting to see now that one very strong aspect of these 2012 prophecies appears to be that once we hit that watermark where we get the galactic family reunion, we get disclosure, we meet the beings, it's like however much spiritual growth progress we've made up until then, it's like a watermark. It's a fixed moment. And then after that point, we can still grow spiritually, but it's going to take a lot more work because mm-hmm. now we have all the incentive and we know yes. the truth. So now is the time. Now is the time if you really want to be like focused on, okay, what should I do? What's the best thing for me to be doing? The best thing for you to be doing is to seek the heart of the self. Really get down inside your core and ask yourself, who am I? Who are these people who I'm looking at? And transcend, ultimately, if you meditate on it enough, you will begin transcending the sense of an ego, the sense of an individual personality self. Your identity does not end with the boundary of your skin to the air. Your identity continues in the people who look at you. It continues in the environment that's around you. It continues in the trees. It continues in the birds. It continues in the clouds. It continues in the stars, the planets, the galaxies, the gorgeous nebula of purple, green, blue, pink colors. Everything in the universe is ultimately your identity. And once you get that, yes, there's a part of you that will recognize, okay, I'm in this body. I have amnesia. I'm out here running Windows 3.1 while the universe is on this crazy advanced operating system you can't even name yet. Your body is like a dummy terminal, and you're built that way because you're supposed to have experiences as an apparently individual self that has its own limitations, that has its own child abuse that it went through, that it has to heal from, your lack of self-worth, your lack of self-esteem, why does everybody hate me, why am I so unpopular, all this stuff. It's all part of the plan so that you have your own little chunk of real estate to work on, you have your spiritual issues, you interact with other human beings, and it appears that they are separate from you, and you hurt their feelings, and then they tell you that really upsets me, and then you have to decide, okay, did I really do something hurtful, or am I just going to say, F you, it's your own problem, what are you talking about, I didn't do anything. This is the working end of the ascension process. It's learning to be loving, learning to be supportive, and ultimately it's a meditation on the fact that the people around you are yourself, and if you help them be happy, you're helping yourself, while also, very important realization, don't let them run your show. Don't let them control you. Don't let them manipulate you, because you have to take care of yourself as well.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the big download. That's what all this stuff is really about. Don't get caught up in all the technical details. Don't get caught up in reading all the conspiracy websites and, oh, my God, when are the Illuminati going to be defeated? Oh, my God, when is there going to be disclosure? I want it now, 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 now. I don't have any patience. What you really want now, if you really get down into this, is the now, the moment. Get away from the computer. Walk around outside. Take a walk. Don't worry about these things that plague your mind. Get into the presence of this moment. Get into the consciousness that flows through you as a living, omniscient intelligence. And that consciousness will begin speaking to you if you want it to. You can start to tune in to that silence of the now, and the moments between pauses of your mind will have information in them. It's a still, small voice. It will seem at first as if it's daydreaming or if it's imagination, but it will be there, because everyone's mind has the higher self in it right now. The higher self is not something that's walled off from you. It's not something that you have to pay me $77 or else you never have a chance to hear it. It's speaking all the time. And all you got to do is listen to your own mind. If you quiet down the ego, you quiet down the part of your mind that's chattering, that's always so worried about the body, and, you know, guilt over the past and fear over the future, the two vectors that pull us out of the present. If you get past that and you stay in the now and you quiet your mind down, then what's going to happen is the thoughts that come into your mind are coming from your higher self. So really, at the end of the day, all you have to do is meditate. All you have to do is seek the silence. And a lot of people misunderstand meditation because they say, well, I don't want to have any thoughts at all. I want all my mind clear of thoughts. If I have any thoughts, that's bad. That's not really what they originally intended it to be. The purpose of meditation is to still your mind down to the point where the free flow of creativity that bubbles up into your mind is coming from your higher self, and you will be accessing your higher self simply by doing that. And the more that we can access our higher self now in today's world, the faster we stimulate our ascension process and the more progress we will be able to make once this 2012 shift happens. And that's the message I'd like to leave everyone with today.
That's good stuff, David.
Well, thank you.
David Wilcock, everybody. DivineCosmos.com is the website. David, thanks so much. Always
thank you,
a pleasure.
Tom. I want to point out to everybody that you, while you may not appear to be talking very much, something people may not understand is that you hold an energetic anchor. And that, because I don't see myself as just an individual, I see myself as accessing other levels of consciousness. One of the reasons why I like going on your show, Tom, is that the words that are coming through me are coming from your soul as well as mine.
Well,
and I really appreciate that. So
I appreciate
it. I'm just sort of like a conference call here.
All righty. Well,
all right,
thanks,
man.
Again, David.
Thank you.
And folks, check out his website. He's appearing all over the country in the next few months. And this is Tom Morasso from BornToManifest.com and Mythologic Radio signing off. Peace out, and we love you.
We do love you. Thank you very much.